Bit more of spiritual gifts. We talked about what they are. They're manifestations of the Spirit that come through us. So manifest means to bring the light. And so God, if he lives in us, he doesn't just do that secretly. He actually has ways that he shows his presence through us. And so a couple weeks ago, I handed out these things. They're called spiritual gifts, and it's a it's a study on spiritual gifts, and actually has a little survey in it that you circle different numbers on that survey, and then you tally them up. And on the last page of the survey, you write the right numbers in the right places, and you can kind of find out what your main spiritual gifts are. Some of your numbers will actually be higher than others. There's no right or wrong on this survey. Really, it's just you just put down, you answer them according to how you feel at the moment that you read the question. And in the list of importance, it's not anything to stress over, but what it does is the questions are designed to kind of help reveal the different ways that you are inclined. So, got kind of a funny question. It might seem a little out of place, but I think you'll see where I'm going here in a minute. How come men don't give birth to babies? We're not designed right, right? I mean, no matter how much I might want to, and you know, really, the whole world seems to be kind of confused on this these days about gender and things like that, but I don't have the proper physical gifts to give birth to a baby. No matter how much that I would want to serve in that capacity, it's impossible. And so that's a really extreme case, but guys, really, when we take a person and expect them to do service outside of their area of giftedness, if they don't have really any giftedness in a particular area, it's going to cause them to really be frustrated whenever they're trying to do a job that requires that giftedness, okay? And so, just in the same way, a much simpler thing, my wife doesn't try to work on our vehicles either, and there's a good reason for that. Because not just, you know, physically she could do it, but she's just really not designed that way. She doesn't have the giftedness in that area. She's smiling right now. She may be wanting to learn. I don't know. She could. She could learn. I could train her, and she could learn some of the things. But nonetheless, we have just accepted that that's kind of my area of giftedness, and so I just do that, and I do the work on different things, and she takes up her areas of giftedness. She is really a way better cook than me. I can eat it. You know, I can probably fix enough food that we could survive, but I can tell you that she does a much better job to where we thrive. Because of her cooking. And so we just take up our area of giftedness, and we enjoy what we do so much more when we do. And you know, spiritual gifts are like that. God has designed each person with a particular temperament, and whenever he comes to live in them, he takes their talents, which are a little bit different than their gifts, but he also made those, and then he will manifest himself through them in special ways. And the thing about spiritual gifts, we can't have spiritual gifts truly without the Holy Spirit, first of all. So that's the first requirement, is really to be a child of God, to have the Holy Spirit living in you. And then these gifts will begin to manifest themselves or be brought to light in us. So we're going to take a little bit more look at this, okay? Even if you did not do the test on it yet, the survey, I have 10 more copies of this on the back shelves that we can get to you so that you can kind of read along, because we're going to be doing the descriptions of these gifts now today, okay? So if you need one of those, you can reach back around the back shelf, or Roger will bring you one if you just want to raise your hand. I only have 10, so like if we spread them out, we've got several people that need them, we will get one to you so that you can share with the person next to you or something like that. But just raise your hand and Roger will get you one of them. And then while he's getting them handed out, I really feel like that this is a great time for us, because as we begin to look at and explore our spiritual gifts, I think that we're going to be inspired to be able to work those out in our lives and kind of help refine them and cultivate them so that we can really bring glory to God in the way that we serve Him. And so we're going to look at a couple scriptures here on the screen that are just going to kind of help get us started in the right frame of mind. And so we're going to take a closer look, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 2 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So if God doesn't want us to be ignorant to the point that he had Paul write this down to the Corinthian church for us for all time as well, He doesn't want us to be unknowing in this. He wants us to know what our spiritual gift is. He wants us to know how we can use those spiritual gifts. You may have more than one that's very strong. And so we want to know that. We don't want to be trying to serve outside of our area of giftedness in a big way, although we may have to serve in some areas that we're not quite as inclined to just because of needs. We don't want to find our primary service to be there because we're going to get frustrated and burned out. So verse 2 says, you know that when that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led before. And so like we used to live a certain way, and whenever we become a Christian, God wants us to explore how he wants to lead us now. So let's look at the next slide there. Just trying to get our hearts prepared. Romans 12, 3 through 5. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, just like my hands are not the same as my feet, and all these different parts of my body, so it is, so we, being many in the church, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So we work together, and we need each other, right? The body needs each other. And so just like my body needs my hands to complete tasks, needs every part functioning properly, so does this body of Christ need every part functioning properly. So that's why we don't want to be ignorant. That's why we don't want to think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to think, but we need to take sober self-assessment is what that means. So that's what this little test is designed to help you do. Okay, so I want you to take it serious. If you want, you know, a copy to take home, that we didn't have enough copies, I don't know. If we didn't, I can make more, because I really want us to explore and take seriously that God has given me gifts in certain areas, because this body needs your gifts to be functioning properly. Okay, so that's why we're exploring this, and that's why we're looking a little deeper. Next slide. Romans 11, 29. This is a big one. Let's say this one together. Let's read it together. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. What does it mean, irrevocable? Can't be revoked, can't be taken back. They just are what they are. And if God's given you gifts, he's given you a calling to use those gifts, it doesn't matter if you want to deny him or not, you can't revoke his calling on your life. Okay? I tried doing that whenever it came to ministry. I tried to talk God into taking my little bill of goods and doing it my way, but you know what? God wasn't going to revoke his calling on my life, okay? He doesn't revoke his calling on our life as Christians. Say praise the Lord to that, amen? So once he gives you salvation, he don't revoke it. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to take it back. Neither does he take back the way he wants to use you. You are saved to serve. The Bible says so. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, it's by grace that we are saved through faith, not of our own works, right? Lest any man should boast, but it is a gift of God. And that you were saved unto good works, which he prepared beforehand, that you should walk in them. Not that we maybe can or possibly will. You should, and if it's irrevocable, God still has the same plan for you as he did before the foundation of the world. Isn't that cool? We can't revoke it. He doesn't revoke it. So the best thing we can do to be perfectly, like in a satisfied relationship with Jesus, is to live in it and embrace it and do it. And that's what he wants us to do. But we kind of got to understand it first. And so it's important for us to look at these different gifts and to ponder them. And so we have one more slide that we're going to look at before we get started. We know now that they're irrevocable. And so we better find out what they are so that we can use them to his glory. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For building up spiritually the body of Christ. That's the number one reason why he gives these gifts. Okay, here just only a few of those gifts are listed. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But what we understand is all the gifts are there to build up the body. And so it's important that we kind of understand how they all work together and complement one another. So what we're going to do, if you have taken your test already, I will go ahead and share with you what my highest numbers were. This is not anything, you know, I mean, if you want to keep it all to yourself, that's cool too. It doesn't matter to me. But like, there's nothing right or wrong in this. Okay? It just is what it is. We answer the questions, what first comes to our mind and heart. And I was really proud of Charlie, because Charlie Legan, he's been visiting the church for a little while, and he took his test, and the very next Sunday he brought it back with his name on it and handed it to me because he wanted me to see how he did on it. And you know what I saw about Charlie? He served during the Vacation Bible School in a big way, and whenever I read what his numbers were highest, it was very much in line, at least in part, of what I'd already seen to be happening. You see, Charlie's already recognized that he has some of these gifts and he's already trying to serve in them. And so I don't want to embarrass you, Charlie, but I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this young man that wants to know where his gifts are and he wants to serve in the area of his giftedness. He jumped right in and was helping with the crafts and get this, okay? I don't want to ruin the secret for him or anything, but while everybody else was packing up and stuff and we were doing different things, Charlie was cleaning up on his own. Where he was even asked. And I just thought, wow, there's a man with the gift of serving helps, without a doubt. And whenever he took his test, he definitely scored high in that area. Okay, because that's where he's naturally inclined. That's what brings him joy. Okay? And so you know, guys, wherever your gifts are, take joy in serving there. And in mine, whenever I looked at my test, prophet perceiver was definitely my highest. And I scored a 27 there, based on the way that I felt whenever I gave the different answers of importance. Teacher was the next with a 26, and this one kind of surprised me, but giver was the next at 26 as well. And I used to didn't score quite as high on giver, and so if you continue to pray, I have prayed that God would help me in that area of life. And I hadn't taken a test for several years. Whenever I took the test this time, God showed me by the way I answered the questions that He has helped to transform that area of me quite a bit. And then exhorter, encourager was a 24, and server was a 24. And then after that, leader, administrator was a 22. I'm not going to tell you my score on mercy and compassion. let's just say it wasn't as high. And what you're going to find is, if you score real high in the area of prophet perceiver, that's going to be one of your weaknesses. So that's why the body needs each other. Amen? Thus saith the Lord is what a prophet has always said. And there's not a lot of mercy and give way in that area. Okay? So generally people that score really high in prophet perceiver oftentimes struggle in that area. And so that's why we need each other to help each other. Okay? So let's look at the spiritual gifts then beyond the test. And we're just going to start on this page. You notice I'm leaving that screen up there. Because if you look to that screen, I want you to be reminded why we have these gifts. It is for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's His body. He gives the gifts. They're irrevocable. And He wants us to use them to build up the body. So here we have it. It's very important. And so the prophet perceiver is the God-given ability to communicate God's message in relation to the truth already revealed. It is not necessary or even primarily a prediction. Rather, it is done for the purposes of encouraging, strengthening, and comforting. These have the ability to perceive the spiritual needs of others and meet those needs through Scripture. So do you see, the main point to a prophet is the Scripture, because that's God's words. And so even when a prophet perceiver wants to comfort someone, they're primarily always going to go to the Scripture to try to do that. Okay? And so that's going to be the greatest desire of a prophet perceiver's heart. Characteristics of a prophet perceiver. Number one, they're able to recognize good and bad and hates what is bad. Number two, sees everything clearly, not dimly, not foggy or indefinite areas. No foggy or indefinite areas. So to them, there's no gray area. It's either black or it's white. Okay? Just kind of one of the prophet's tendencies. And if you look throughout the prophetic books of the Bible in the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord, and there was nothing in between most of the time for the prophet. Verse 3, recognizes character in people, whether good or bad. Number 4, encourages repentance for the glory of God. Is an introvert rather than an extrovert, The reason why it's is sometimes this will accompany a person, but not necessarily all the time. Could be. Okay, and they sees the Bible as the foundation for truth. Courageously holds to spiritual truths. Outspoken, powerful, and persuasive speaker. Distraught over the sins of others. Sees their own shortcomings and those of others. Desires to see God's plans take place. Promotes spiritual growth in others. Fanatical about integrity. Strongly communicates what they perceive. Self-examiner. Opinionated and holds to convictions. Holds to a high standard. Desperately desires to obey God. Now these are going to be the challenges that come up for a prophet perceiver. May be judgmental and upfront. Delights in goal accomplishment, not forward progress. Okay, so they don't see that maybe we're just in a little better place than we were yesterday. Still looking at the end goal, wanting to get there. Okay, forcefully pushes others toward spiritual growth. Intolerant of other views, struggles with self-image. All of these will be challenges of a person that's really high in this in these areas. Okay, places in the church body where this gift could be utilized, small group leaders, any type of lay counseling, security at other church function, at any church function. So like if they're in charge of a church function, you know, a pastor could always feel secure with someone because they're going to keep it biblical. Okay, they're going to make sure things are biblical. Otherwise, they're not going to let it happen. And so this is God's church. So we do have to have prophet and perceivers involved because we need to remember that God's word is what has caused us to be. And verse 4, providing oversight over any ministry function. And also they can be great mentors and peacemakers. And so all of those are qualities that you oftentimes will find in a pastor as well. And so most pastors that are called to the ministry will score highly in the area of prophet perceiver because they need to use the Word of God to make their points. You wouldn't want me to get up here every Sunday and just tell you all my great opinions, right? John Jones thinks this, and John Jones thinks that. No, you want me to preach the Word of God. And so this needs to be a high strength in my area of serving. Okay, the next one that we come to is server. A server has a God-given ability to recognize a need and administer assistance to others. In relation to other believers, this releases them to utilize their God-given gifts. And so, characteristics of a server, they willingly meet the needs of others. They have a hands-on approach, precise and orderly. Detail-oriented, friendly, have trouble turning others away, more interest in others than self, more short-term oriented than long-term, actively expressive rather than verbally expressive, desires appreciation, goes above and beyond what is asked of them, enjoys being helpful, high energy level, orderly, does not like clutter, perfectionist, places an importance on serving, would rather do than delegate. Supports the leadership. Okay? And so maybe this is your area of main giftedness. And what I will find about a server is generally if a server hears something needs to be done, they automatically think, I'm the one to do it. And they don't even think about going and asking somebody else. And what happens a lot of times, since a server, especially in a small church, always feels that way, sometimes they can push themselves too hard to accomplish all the goals. Okay, and so challenges for the server, they criticize those who are not serving. They help others to the extent of neglecting personal family or even themselves. So enthusiastic to help, they may come across as pushy. Some people just want to do it so bad that other people get to thinking, well, I'd like to do something, but that person just seems like they want to do it all. Well, don't look down on them. They just have a gift of serving, and they really want to do. And so it can be a stumbling block for them. Just come alongside of them and help them. And they do not like to be served, and they're saddened when unappreciated. places in the church body where this gift could be utilized. Hospitality ministry, children's ministry, homeless ministry, taking meals to ill or injured, set up and tear down of special events, serving anywhere, anytime, any way, construction of any type, maintenance of anything, putting together anything with the hands. And so they just are very tactile in their approach to things. You know, they just always feel like if it's there to be done, they should do it. And so I struggle in that area. My score has gone down a little bit. That used to be my number one highest score in spiritual gifts because, I mean, if it needed to be done, I just automatically think I must be the person to do it. And you can only do that so far, you know. As you get involved in more and more lives, you can't do it for every problem, okay? And so servers need to be appreciated and servers need help. They need others to come alongside of them. And sometimes people are afraid to come alongside them because they look like they got it all under control, right? Let's move on to teacher. Teacher, the God-given ability to study, research, explain, and communicate truth. Characteristics of a teacher. They're a logical presenter of truth. Confirms truth by examining facts. Enjoys study and investigation. Knows how to do word studies. Uses biblical illustrations. Detests scripture used out of context. Establishes truth biblically. Objective rather than subjective. Extensive vocabulary. Accurate presenter of truth. Tests the information of others. Favors teaching over evangelism. Starts with scripture when answering questions. Intellectual, disciplined, emotionally stable. Has a close circle of friends. Strong convictions based on solid research. Believes God's truth leads to life change. Okay, and as with all the other ones, you may see 90% of those things in yourself, if that's your gift. You may not see them all. You know, these are some generalized statements that are being made. But you will find a lot of these in a person that has that gift. The challenges for the teacher, they can neglect application in exchange for information download. So they can be so much into just learning new things that they forget to really apply the things that they learn sometimes. They can be slow to accept views of others. Prideful due to knowledge. Maybe legalistic and dogmatic. Easily distracted by love of new interests. And maybe that you can see that in yourself. Maybe you have the gift of teaching. I don't know. But just think about some of those challenges, because the challenges are places or areas of weakness that we have to watch for. Places in a church body where this gift could be utilized. Small group leader. Bible study leader with men's, women's ministries, children's ministries. I don't know what a Rock U instructor is, but there must be something that has to do with that particular ministry. Research assistant, developer of curriculum, child, youth, and teen mentor. Okay, and in our church, Sunday school teachers, you know, and Sunday school teacher helpers as well. Gift of teacher, and definitely a gift that is needed for the edifying of the body of Christ, right? Just as all these others are. All right, let's move on to the next one. I just kind of want to skim through these real quick, and I want you to be able to connect with them. Maybe you've hit your area of giftedness and you go, wow, that's me. That's it right there. Okay, I want you to be able to learn ways to plugging into areas where that can be utilized. This next one is exhorter. This is a God-given ability to draw near to individuals in a time of need, encouraging and counseling them accurately with the Word of God, and persuading them to take courage in the face of something they must do, or assuring them to take comfort because of something that has occurred. Barnabas was a good example of an encourager or an exhorter in the scriptures in Acts chapter 4. And so I pray that we have lots of these in the church, because we need people that can come alongside of others and help encourage them. Characteristics of an exhorter: verbally encouraging. Likes to apply the word rather than investigate it. Yeah, they love the application. Remember, the teacher investigates more than applying. The exhorter applies more than investigates. Okay, they prefer practical application over theological truth. Works best with others. Verbally encourages others to excel in ministry. Loves to do personal counseling. Loves to talk. Excels in communication. Perceives trials as opportunities for personal growth. Has a positive attitude. Easily makes decisions prefers to quickly resolve problems, needs to bounce ideas off others. Challenges for the exhorter: frequently interrupts others, uses scripture out of context, outspoken and opinionated, slightly overconfident can be some of their challenges. Places in the church body where this gift can be utilized: lay counseling, Stephen minister, and a Stephen ministry is like kind of one-on-one mentoring ministry. Table facilitator, hospitality ministry, drama ministry, nursing home ministry, homeless ministry team, small group leader, any place where encouragement is needed. And so we can see where we need lots of encouragement. Did you guys come here this morning hoping to find a little encouragement? Well, hopefully you may have connected with an exhorter in the group. Amen? Because we can all use a little encouragement. The next one we come to is giver. And this is the God-given ability to give freely of what God has entrusted to them. You notice it didn't just say money, right? We give of lots of things. We are all expected to give, right? God shows us ways that we can give. But some people just really have an extra supernatural gift of giving. And this includes giving time, material goods, and financial resources with joy and eagerness and without any ulterior motives that would benefit the giver. Characteristics of a giver: gives as led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Freely and happily gives, often gives anonymously. Understands giving is an intricate part of serving. Takes pleasure in meeting the needs of others. Gives not only quantity but quality. Gives to bless and enhance ministries. Sees hospitality as a chance to give. Financially wise. Strongly believes in tithes and offerings. Understands that God owns everything. Right? Strong business skills. Appreciates value. Is not gullible. Challenges for the giver: tends to be controlling with money. Pressures others to be more generous. May overcommit. Uses financial giving as a way out of other requirements. And leads others on guilt trips. Those are some real drawbacks, aren't they? So we have to be careful there. All right, places in the church body where this gift can be utilized: homeless ministry, small group leader, fundraising, any serving opportunity, hospitality ministry, financial counseling ministry team, supportive church special projects, financially support any ministry. And so we can see where there is great need for that gift as well. Okay, as we move right along, I know it's going to take us a minute to go through these, but I really think that they're helpful to see different qualities in each one of us. This is for leadership and administration. The God-given ability to lead others in meaningful endeavors, which demonstrates personal care and concern in order to meet the needs of others and encourage their growth. Characteristics of leadership administration: they motivate others to action, clearly communicates, thrives when given authority, happily receives authority when given, naturally assumes leadership where there is a lack, takes on long-term projects, is a visionary, has good networking abilities, delegates well, takes criticism well, is passionate and enthusiastic, enjoys accomplishing goals, gives credit to others, meets challenges as they arise, is a natural and capable leader, understands the big picture, discards what does not work and keeps what does, enjoys people, dislikes the mundane routine. Challenges for leader administrator: may have trouble dealing with opposition, may become callous due to constant criticism, pushes hard to the point of neglecting family, ignores family responsibilities due to the love of work. Places in a church where church body where this gift can be utilized: small group leader, junior high ministry, high school ministry, college ministry, singles ministry, prison ministry, any type of leadership oversight role, creator of new ministries, and coach of sports ministries. So they're just giving some ideas of some different ministries churches may have and how a person like that can plug in. The idea of having leadership, you know, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a culture that really kind of looks down on the leader. If you really look, our culture is kind of bad about it. You know, you hear people bad-mouthing the president all the time, right? They bad-mouth all kinds of leaders. People really look down on police officers and things of that nature, even when they're really just doing their job. And oftentimes, even in church, leaders can be looked down on because they have to make hard decisions and keep things going in the right direction. And so what we need to do is we need to realize This will cause some people with the gift of leadership to be afraid to step out. Okay? If you have the gift of leadership and administration, I want to encourage you to really embrace that, because your leadership is needed somewhere. It's very important. We had a scavenger hunt at church camp, and I had 18 teenagers in one group that we all had to go in the same direction to different places at night. Okay? It was a scavenger hunt where we had to search for clues, and we had to get those clues and put them together verbatim, word for word. That was how you won this game. Okay? If nothing else, as the adult, I just wanted to get it over with, okay? I did not want to be wandering around all night at bedtime, okay? I wanted to be in my bunk as quickly as possible. One thing I knew for sure, if we didn't have a leader, we weren't going to go anywhere. And so they asked us to go with them, protect them, watch over them, make sure that they went where they were supposed to go, but not to take it over. So the very first thing that I asked the group as they went out of the building, they had their little list, they were trying to figure out what to do, and everybody had a different idea. I said, first thing we need to do, you need to decide who's going to be your leader. And there was one boy, he stepped up, and I kind of told some of you the story a while back. He stepped up, and he really stepped up, because he was probably about 6'6 or 6'7, so he was quite a bit taller than everybody else. And he steps up to the plate, and everybody on the team said, we want Sir to lead us. His name was actually S-Y-R, which is kind of interesting too. We want Sir to lead us because we believe that he will be a good leader. And not only that, they all said, he's a genius. So they trusted his judgment. And as it turned out, he did a very good job leading them. He listened to their suggestions, but he made decisive action and took them and we wound up winning that part of the game because this young man was willing to lead. And so we always do need leaders. So please try to know that we need people that are gifted in this area to step into those positions. Okay, let's look at mercy and compassion. This is the God-given ability to have immediate compassion for those who are suffering, combined with great joy in meeting their needs. Characteristics of mercy and compassion. Loves to love. Searches out the good in people. Brings out the good in people. These are all great characteristics. Recognizes the spiritual and emotional condition of others. Acts out of concern for others. Cares for the emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being of others. Considers others more important than self. Chooses words carefully. Recognizes the effect words can have. Detects insincerity. Loves to be thoughtful. Is trustworthy. Non-confrontational. Usually cheerful. Thinks with the heart rather than the head. Rejoices and/or grieves with others. Man, if I'm hurting and I'm really having a rough time, don't I want to find a person that has that gift? Amen? To help comfort, encourage. Says challenges for the mercy and compassion. Overly sensitive. Caring may be misunderstood by the opposite sex. Easily takes up others' problems that are not their own. Thinking with their heart leads to indecision. And another challenge, can be easily hurt by others unintentionally because they wear their feelings on their sleeve, you might say, you know. And I'm just going to say, guys, you see, there's no right or wrong in this thing. Everybody has different gifts, and we need them all. Amen? See, that's the thing. What winds up happening in the church, if one person's gift looks different than this other person's gift, then they say, they need to be more like me. Guys, no. What we need is for them to be them, because we need that in our body, okay? And so that's what the Bible tells us. If my hand were to say, you know, I'm not as good as the foot because I'm not a foot, where would I be? I need the hand too. And so let's look at places in the church body where this gift could be utilized. Small group leaders, they need to be in that in at least in some way. Homeless ministry, counseling ministry, we can see how homeless ministry would be just a great desire of the heart to comfort people who are in a lesser condition. Visitation and follow-up. Excellent place. Excellent place. I'd say hospital visitation as well. Amen. When a person's in the hospital, they like to see a kind heart come by with compassion. And they need to know that it's not just fake, right? It's really coming from a gift from God. Okay? Prison ministry, greeters, any type of phone work, and children's ministry. lots of compassion needed for children's ministry. Amen? Lots of mercy and compassion needed for children's ministry. So people with that gift, we need you to step into that area and serve out of that giftedness and respect other people's gifts as well, because they can give guidance and provide guidance to help keep it all going in the right direction. Here's some important reminders. It says, keep in mind that oftentimes the Holy Spirit gives us more than one gift, which serves to keep our other gifts, our gift, in check, or harmonize to create a blended gift that God uses in unique ways. This is another reason why each and every one of us has a unique role to play in the kingdom, even if your gift may seem just like someone else you know. Scripture commands us to minister in many areas, whether or not we have the corresponding spiritual gifts. For example, Scripture clearly tells us that some have the following gifts, yet all are to minister in these ways. Gifts to some, commands to all. Do you understand what the writer's getting at? I think he does an excellent job explaining this. There are some things you may not feel especially gifted in, but we are all expected to serve in some of these areas. Okay? Ministering, serving with one another. Galatians 5:13 talks about us serving together. Exhortation. We need to exhort each other, right? Hebrews 10:25. That's the reason why we gather together. We don't forsake the assembly. Is to exhort one another. Stir up the coals, as it says. We all need to give to some degree. Some will have a greater acceleration in that area. 2 Corinthians 9:7. We need to be teaching to make disciples. Can anybody say the Great Commission? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's the call of the entire church. Some are going to be better at carrying out the role of the actual teaching, but we are all to be together on the thing of trying to make disciples. Okay, showing mercy, to be kind. Whether or not that's your strongest gift, we are all called to show mercy to one another to some degree. Ephesians 4:32. Faith, walk by faith. We are all called to have faith, at least in some measure. If you're a Christian, you have enough faith to be a Christian. So that's been a gift from God. Some people will have a greater measure of it, and they can always encourage others. Evangelism, we are all to witness. We are all to give a reason for the hope that we have. In fact, this gives Acts 1:8, that when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be witnesses for me. Okay? And he was saying it to the whole church body at that time. And not only just in your hometown, but all around. It says, oftentimes as we are faithful to these commands, after we discover our particular gifts. We need to understand in those areas of giftedness we will excel, but we are expected to serve in other areas as well to some degree. And the second thing that it tells us is an important reminder, no matter what spiritual gifts we have received, the Christian virtue of love must accompany the exercise of these gifts. Otherwise, they will prove unfruitful. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And of course, that comes from 1 Corinthians 13. And so the difference between gifts and talents, talents have to do with the techniques and methods. Gifts have to do with the spiritual abilities. Talents depend on natural ability. Gifts on spiritual endowment. Remember, the gift is defined as the manifestation of the Holy Spirit which lives in you. And so it's very important we allow that to show through us, because it gives God glory. Talents instruct, inspire, and entertain on a natural level. However, when a gift is exercised, something supernatural happens in and through the one who is ministering. So in conclusion, your God-given personality, talents, abilities, and spiritual gifts all work together to make you uniquely you. There's no one else like you. And so that's why you're special to the body of Christ. No one else like you. No one else can be you, and no one else can fill your role. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That comes from 1 Peter 4:11. You notice that in this study, it doesn't really address a couple of the gifts of speaking in tongues, the gifts of healings. There's several of the different gifts that discernment is another one that this particular study doesn't really necessarily talk much about. And I think it's because those are not gifts that we can really force. They're not really gifts that we can necessarily cultivate either. I can tell you that, you know, if you just come out speaking in tongues, I believe it's just something the Spirit does through you and for a particular purpose. And I truly believe that it will be to help bring understanding, not confusion. Okay? And so if that happens and the Spirit decided to do that through you, I don't think that there's really anything you can do to cultivate that. It will just happen. And then I believe if it happens in one person in the church, somebody else is going to be given the gift of interpretation. Otherwise, God's not in it because He doesn't do confusion. He brings about order. How about the gifts of healings? I don't think it's just the gift of healer. If you notice, it doesn't even say that. The gifts of healings is God decides to heal, maybe through your prayer. Maybe because He desires to in a very special way. In fact, the gift of healings, you might even be the receiver of the healing, and you've been given the gift of healing. You've been healed. And so who gets the glory? God does. That's not a gift I can refine. That's not a gift I can cultivate. God just does it for His glory. What I need is greater faith to pray. Amen? So give me a greater gift of faith. I ran into a guy the other day that said, man, I'm really trying to cultivate this gift of being a healer. And I'm like, uh-oh. And so I'm not saying that God don't heal through a person's touch. I'm not saying that it never, but if it does, it's to bring God glory, not the person. And so the guy found somebody who looked like they were kind of hurting in the back, and he went over and he grabbed his back and he started pushing on him real hard, and he was really kind of hurting the guy. And he said, be healed, be healed. And he kept hitting him like almost in the back. And finally the guy started looking a little annoyed, and it's like, stop it. You know, pray for me, brother. You know, so like, I don't think we can force this. And I've been in atmospheres whenever they try to force it. And it's not a pretty sight. I was in an atmosphere one time where we had praying over people at the end of a session, and people were lined up to be prayed over, and the one person kept insisting that they wanted to be slain or knocked down in the spirit. And so the person praying over him kept hitting him in the head till he finally just practically knocked the guy out. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that knocked him out. It was the guy that I saw who was praying over him that knocked him out. He finally hit him with the heel of his hand on the forehead so hard it literally knocked him over backwards, where somebody caught him. But apparently that's what the guy was wanting. I don't know. I had a hard time understanding it. But at the same time, in those prayer services, I did see the Spirit move as well. And I think what we do as people sometimes, we can kind of make a mockery out of the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. We need to let Him do what He does, and He does do it. Amen? In those same prayer meetings, I saw spirits, literally evil spirits, people being relieved from evil spirits, without a doubt. Demon possession, being set free from. But it wasn't because we hit them hard. It was because the Spirit of God is more powerful, and He sent them away. And so what I want us to understand, these gifts that we have dealt with here today, I think are ones that we can cultivate, though. That we can recognize them. We can help serve in those areas and be positive about them. So I pray, this is my prayer, and I'm getting ready to pray it over you, that you better understand your gifts after we're done. You will be willing to serve in those areas. Because not only will the body be built up, not only will be edifying the body of Christ, you will be edified. You will grow faster than ever as you serve in the area where God has truly gifted you. That's the desire of my heart. Now, what's going to happen if we put somebody to be a teacher and they have no gift of teaching? That ain't going to work out real well. So we shouldn't just desire roles. We shouldn't just desire promotion. It's not a promotion. I can tell you to be a leader or a servant in the church is to be a foot washer of the church. It's to be a person who will get down on their knees and serve others. And so there's no, like, promotions in the church. We'll get our blessing when we get to glory. And so let's all humbly serve here. together. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just pray that you would help us to better realize the gifts that we have in us because of the Holy Spirit living in us. How you want to flow through us. First step in that is to truly become a Christian. And so, Lord, if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray today might be the day that they receive you and receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us, as the Scripture says to pray, fill us with the Holy Spirit. You said, fear not, little children. Fear not, for your Father desires to give you the kingdom. Even much more, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to all those who ask? And so, Lord, we're asking today, fill us and help us to live that out from day to day in the way that you have gifted us. Bless this wonderful congregation, and I know that in this body of Christ in Cadet, Missouri, you have gifted us with the completeness of the body. So help us to serve according to our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise for song, if you can. There's nothing that can be more frustrating for a person than whenever they have a gift and they can't express it through the local body as well. And so if you have questions about the areas where you see that you have been primarily gifted, about how you can plug in, minister through the church, please just talk to me about that. I'd be happy to help show you different ways and needs in the church where you can serve. You know, I mean, gifts of service there's always things that need to be done. There's things you can just automatically do as well if you know that they're there for you to do. Gifts of teaching and gifts of other things can be cultivated and brought along. And so please, take seriously where God has gifted you, and let's find ways for you to really to serve in those areas. But the number one thing I really want to ask you with this, I'm going to leave you with this one question. If you die today, do you know where you're going to go? It really is an overarching question, because any of us might. And the only way you can truly know is, honestly, the mark of salvation is that the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you don't really know, please, just ask God. Ask God, first of all, to forgive you of your sins. And if you believe that Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and life, and that He died on the cross for your sin, paying the price for it, and rose again on the third day, then you believe in faith in what you need to believe to be saved. And so ask Him to be the Lord of your life. What does that mean? Lord just literally means king or boss. It means like, I've been going my way up to this point, and from now on I'm going to go your way. I want you to show me, and I'll follow. And so please, if you've not come to that point, I pray you will. If you want someone to pray with you, I'd be happy to. But it's not just words you recite that saves you. It's the condition of your heart before God. So I really want you to be able to know for sure where you're going to go if you take your last breath today. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to have birthdays and anniversaries. Dear Father, I do just want to pray over this group, Lord. I pray that no one would have any doubt in this room about where they're going to spend eternity. And some would say, well, we can't really know, but the Bible says we can. The entire book of 1 John speaks about knowing. The fifth chapter really drives it home. And what it basically boils down to is, does the Holy Spirit live in us? Do we have the Son? If we have the Son, we have life. If we don't have the Son, we don't have life. And it's just that simple. And so, Lord, I pray that we not make it any more complicated than that. The evidences of having the Son is being convicted over sin, not being able to live in it freely anymore, wanting to serve Christ and not just ourselves, and living it out from day to day, continuing in the faith. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us to be able to see those signs in our own lives. Not to try to judge others. That's not our place. It's only for us to judge ourselves on that one. So, Lord, please show us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.